Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's pray together, brothers and sisters. Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, O God. Father, we thank you that we have a God we could call upon, Lord God, and we know that you hear our prayers. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each and every opportunity that you give us, Lord. Father, in every day that you put a mission field before each and every one of us, Lord, you give us opportunity to be a light, Lord God, in this world of darkness and despair. Father God, let our light so shine, Father God, as we see gross darkness infiltrating this world, Lord, that we could lead some out of bondage and affliction. The religious darkness that has engulfed our country, Lord God, let us keep ourselves separated thereof, Father, and be a light, Father, of the genuine light of the true gospel. Lord, that we can compel some to come out of the afflictions and the bondages of Satan. Father, have your way within this service as we all yield our mind and our thoughts and our hearts over to you. Father, that I decrease, that you could increase, Lord, and have your way. Utilize this vessel, Lord God, as we surrender over to you. We love you and thank you. As always, Lord God, with a great expectation of you to speak, Father God, not man. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You're going to be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. We'll go to the third chapter here. Trust in the Lord to speak. If ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. I want you to back up with me, back up to, I believe, about verse 3. It says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we want to talk about for a moment here this evening being hid in with Christ, how are we hid in with Christ? Where are we hid at? When we think of the word here, so many times we read the scriptures and we just kind of cruise by things. Sometimes they don't mean anything to us, or we don't have enough strength or enough hunger after the things of God to even ponder or consider what it is. The Bible very clearly teaches us here that we're hid in with him. There's other scriptures said that we've been sealed in. There's no devil of hell, no principality, no power. Nothing could pluck us out of the hand of God. But we find here that it talks about a death, for ye are dead. The Bible talks about some that are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Some are dead while they still yet live, the scriptures speak about. So then we have to start differentiating death and what dead is. You seem to be alive in Christ, you must be dead to yourself. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now again, as we were speaking the other day, speaking about a chronological order, a timely thing, a dispensational thought. And people say, well, I know that when Jesus Christ appears, you know, and he comes on this earth and walks among men, you know, that I'll appear with him. And that's where most people take that scripture to understand it or to go to it. And you say, well, are they wrong, Brother Rob? And I say, no, they're not wrong, but they've missed the present day truth. You know, Brother Pike's, the ministry of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the present day truth. I don't know how we ended up being captioned or however you would express it, but the ministry of Christian Temple has been somewhat numbered as the ministry of the present day application. There's another scripture I could turn you to where it speaks about they have the right things to say, but it's not manifested in their life. It's not seen within their life. But there again, when we say a present application and a truth, I'm not saying anything to the ministry of the present day truth is a beautiful and awesome thing because the truth will set you free. But then many times people hear the truth and without an application of the truth, it really profits you nothing whatsoever. The truth, brothers and sisters, will bring judgment to you and the truth will also bring life. It depends on the way you apply the truth. that you've heard. The truth is what makes you accountable. When you hear a truth, it makes you accountable to that truth. And when you hear a truth and reject that truth, you see, then it brings judgment. It brings wrath. It brings chastening. And it could bring a curse. Well, you say the Bible says that Jesus come not to curse. But then yet the Bible said that these that don't preach the same doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, said, let them be accursed. But see, did he come to curse? No, he came to bring life. He didn't come to curse. But then you bring the curse upon yourself by not receiving the truth. So then truth goes beyond what we would say a knowledge. Truth goes into an application. Truth goes into, the Bible said, your written epistles read and known of all men. There is an application. The application is that your life is being read, and that application of what is being read in your life is by what you're applying in your life. So again, as we take the truths of God's word, we apply it within our life to bring it into an application, or we could say an action. You see, the book of Acts is a book of application. It was men that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard the word of God and they applied it to their life. They applied it in such a way it brought wrath from the world. Jesus said, the world hated me, first they'll hate you also. But they applied the life of Christ in their attributes, in their actions, and when they applied the life of that as an application, then we find the fruit thereof. You see, it brings forth a fruit, and it also brings forth a crucified way, a life that we walk in Christ. So as we consider again, as we looking into some of these thoughts, we think, as again the church would say, that the proper way to receive this scripture that we just read is that when Jesus Christ comes and he appears himself, appears here on the earth, that we'll appear there with him. Well, the elect of God most definitely will do that. They will appear with him as he walks here among the earth. But brothers and sisters, if he appears to us now, then where would we be? We should be with him. But then yet many times people are blinded to the things and they don't see God when he comes. So you say, well, I'm waiting on his coming. I'm waiting on the returning of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as I say so oftentimes, how many of you came in the name of the Lord tonight? And I could say I could at least get three hands here. And when two or three come together in his name, he's in the midst. Well, if he's in the midst, is that the coming of the Lord? Now think about it, brothers and sisters. Is that the coming of the Lord? It must have to be. The Bible says it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. So if God is in the house of God and he's speaking to his people, then why are we looking for his coming? Something to ponder on and something to consider. Oh, but I want to see him. I want to touch him. I want to hold him. Well, more blessed is the man who could believe, brothers and sisters, without seeing or touching or holding. Now, the thing is this is where we start rending the veil between natural world and a spiritual world. Now, see, the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ when he came and walked among them because they were looking for a natural God that had natural warfare, natural weapons, and they wanted him to take over and rule and run the Roman Empire out of Israel. That's what they wanted. And this would have been their Messiah because he was a deliverer. But you see, he came as a deliverer and he was delivering them from the bondage of religion, one of the greatest strongholds in all the world. He came to fulfill all things. He said, my kingdom is without observation, is what he told them. But they couldn't receive that. So now here we come and we say, well, we're in another dispensation, another time, another era, dispensation of grace. And now it's a totally different thing, but then yet you're doing the very same thing that the Jews did when Jesus walked among in a personification. They rejected him. But do you realize that Jesus is being rejected today by the church, by the religious people? When I'm not speaking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking about the religious order of the world. And you say, well, what is the religious order of the world, Brother Rob? Well, we could number many things in it. We could number the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the Baptists, the Methodists, all of the denominational works. We could number them all right into the religion of the world. You see, Jesus had no intentions of building denominational structures. You see, there's a church, brothers and sisters, a universal church. This is what Catholic means, the universal church. This is the mind of God. But the Catholic Church is not the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church is a church that has missed God. They've missed the coming of the Lord. They don't know God nor his word. And they're in witchcraft and idolatry and every unclean and filthy thing. See, that's not the church of Jesus Christ. But there is a universal Catholic church, a church of a universal church of one. We're part of that church. If we wanted to use the term Catholic, we're part of a Catholic work as more true born again Christians, but we're not part of the Catholic denomination. You see, and I could say, well, I'm Pentecostal, but I'm not part of the Pentecostal denomination because it's gone as wayward as the Catholic Church with all of the uncleanness and the foolishness and the things that's happened. I'm telling you, there's such a rapid decay of the things of God in our Pentecostal churches in America. And I know that sounds harsh or judgmental, you might say. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, we've got to observe things. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. If I'm going to walk with ministries and ministers and denominations, I got to watch and see if I'm in agreement with them. Because if I walk with them, that means I'm in agreement with them. And if I'm in agreement with them and they're in sin, then I bring sin to myself and the judgments of sin in my life. And I bring the chastening of God down upon me. So I have to make godly judgments and find out if I could walk with one. So again, as I say in many of our Pentecostal churches, you say, well, I'm Pentecostal, so am I. But I'm not part of the Pentecostal move in America in this day and hour because they've gone to so much lasciviousness, like the Bible says. He says, I'm afraid of you that are seeking after a sign. You know, and when you put all of these things into people, they don't feel like they're in church unless somebody's dancing or speaking in tongues or shouting or running. And they think, well, this is God. But brothers and sisters, we can get that at a football game. You see, oh yeah, but it's the Spirit of God that makes it happen. Well, if you have discernment of spirit, you'll find it many times it isn't, even though it's the reign of God. This is what we have to watch for and understand and comprehend and perceive. You see, and the Bible teaches that when they stand before the Lord, they said, I prophesied in your name. Well, you say, prophecy is a gift of God. You know, man, if they prophesied, that means that the Holy Ghost came on them and they had this power and they prophesied. Praise God. But he says, I prophesied in your name. He said, I never knew you, you work of iniquity, depart from me. And it says that he was taken and put into outer darkness. So see, prophecy doesn't vindicate being a child of God or a Christian. But I cast out devils in your name. Oh, but we got all authority and power over the devil. And if we got all authority and all power over the devil, then we could say that, oh man, praise God, I know that's one with the Holy Ghost. But he said the same thing. He never knew them. They were workers of iniquity. Depart from me. So you see, brothers and sisters, when we think, well, I'm Pentecostal, praise God. What makes you Pentecostal? Well, I speak in tongues. I believe in the gifts of God. Well, we find out these gifts about prophecy, about casting out these devils. And we see that the Bible says that prophecy is the greater gift when we think of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So if prophecy is greater than tongues, now think about it. Prophecy is greater than tongues. But then yet we say that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How can anything be greater than that? Could anything be greater than the infilling of the Holy Ghost? No way. Nothing could be. So we got to start checking up, challenging our teachings, our doctrines, and our understanding. As in a statement of faith that I wrote upon and it was put on the internet, I believe in the gifts of God, and I believe that they're manifested, the same gifts that were manifested in the early church in the book of Acts. I believe that those gifts are for us today. But I also do believe that the evidence of the infilling of God's Spirit is obedience. It isn't the gifts. You see, brothers and sisters, if we could prophesy, that's a gift. And the gifts and callings are without repentance. The Holy Ghost does not come without repentance. But the gifts come without repentance. So we could have the gift of tongues and not have the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that? We could have the gift of prophecy and not have the Holy Ghost. We could have the gift of discernment and not have the Holy Ghost. We could have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and prophecy and not have the Holy Ghost. We could have faith, and there could be miracles working in our life and not have God's Spirit. If the gifts, now those are the nine gifts that we're speaking about. And if we speak about these nine gifts, we could go over there and read about them in Corinthians. If we read about these nine gifts, it says, but these gifts and the callings are without repentance. Do you know what repentance is? Oh, that's when we cry and we weep before the Lord and we say, oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Oh God, I smoked dope or I drank beer. Or I snorted coke. You know, I did this. I done that. Oh God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. That's not repentance. That's the beginning, possibly, of what we might say repentance is. But that's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from something. You see, so many times we think, well, I went in and I said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry, this and that. And then you go right back to it. That's the dog returning to its vomit. See, that's not repentance. Oh, I ask God to forgive me. You know, if I violate my wife in any kind of a way or do something to hurt her, and I say I'm sorry, oh man, I've repented because I told her I was sorry. Well, you can do that. That's the beginning of it. But when you've repented of it, that means you've turned away from that. The thing that hurt her, you would turn away from. The thing that violated God or the thing that hurt God, I would turn away from that thing. So the gifts and callings are without repentance. The gifts and callings of God are there without you turning around your life. You know, many years being involved in the Pentecostal move for many, many years, I remember in the early days of coming into the Pentecostal church, you know, and being encouraged to receive the gift of tongues. You know, oh, you need to speak in tongues. You're not saved or you don't have the Holy Ghost. You know, I've watched these things for years and I saw this doctrine ever so pushed about tongues and all of these things. And I think it's wonderful to speak in tongues. But I saw that they wanted you to get your life cleaned up that you could receive this infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's impossible. It takes the Holy Ghost to clean you up and to purify you. And how could you get purified or cleaned up without it? It's impossible. It can't happen. So many times we find that we're trying to seek after something and some kind of a life or some kind of a lifestyle that we could be a candidate to receive. You're going to receive the infilling of God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the power of God that you can overcome the things of the world. And the things of the world is your fleshly life, your fleshly mind, your fleshly thoughts, and you're going to be filled with power that you can overcome. When we find on the day of Pentecost, when they was all in one mind and one accord, and they was in the upper room, and this rushing mighty wind come and move through, we find that there was a cloven tongue of fire upon their head. Why don't we teach that that's the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost? I've seen the cloven tongue before of fire. The thing is, brothers and sisters, I saw it with my eyes wide open. I've seen that. But the thing is that why don't we teach us the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost? I remembered I was so troubled for so many years walking in those doctrines. Even though I was a tongue talker, I was still troubled in that kind of doctrine. And I remember a man in the church, you know, and man, he was a tongue talker. Boy, you'd hear him speaking in tongues and crying and things. Man, the guy had all kinds of problems in his life. You know, but he had the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, if you are so foolish to believe that every time you hear a man speaking in tongues that he's got God's Spirit, then all I can say this as nice as I can, you are some kind of ignorant. Let me tell you something. I saw a man working in the gifts of God, prophesying, speaking in tongues, laying hands on people, and they were receiving healing, discerning their thoughts and the intents of their heart, working in prophetic utterances and prophecy, and things would come to pass and things would happen. You say, oh, fear that prophet when he speaks those things. But the man was a pedophile. You know what that is? Maybe I'll break it down into a little bit different terminology. A child molester. And all these things. Oh, but you know, he had the Holy Ghost. He just backslid when he done that. You don't understand the Bible. You don't understand the scriptures. God never lost a one. The Bible said when they go out into those things or they go back, it was to be made manifest that they were never, never of you. You see, it doesn't vindicate that man being a prophet, a preacher, a child of God, or filled with the Holy Ghost because he prophesied, cast out devils, because he worked in discernment, or done any of the gifts. That didn't vindicate it. And you say, but Brother Rob, I'm seeking the gifts of God. Praise God, you should. Those are for the children of God. But we don't need to believe that when we operate in the gifts of God, that vindicates us being a child of God. Or if we don't operate in the gifts of God, we can't let that vindicate that we're not a child of God. The thing is if I would consider myself a child of God and he gave me those gifts, I want the gifts that he gave me. I want to utilize discernment in my life. That I have the ability to discern good from evil. That's what the Bible teaches us, that we need to be able to discern good from evil. And sometimes things could appear to be good, but they're actually evil, and discernment would show that, no matter how good it seemed. How about the devil himself? What did he say to Eve? What did he say? Oh, surely, it's good, it's pleasing to the eye. Oh, you won't die. Now see, if she could have been walking in discernment, she could have said, wait a minute, this beast is lying to me. No matter how good it sounds. You see, we have a conscience, brothers and sisters. And we have a conscience that speaks to our heart. And God uses the conscience to speak to us. And so many times somebody will convince you that it's okay. Oh, it's okay. Praise God. You know, everybody's doing this. It's all right. Hey, praise the Lord. See, this is where in the Pentecostal realms, this where the danger falls at. Because people will go out and live like dogs and devils in the world, partaking of worldly pleasures, worldly appetites, having their pleasures with women, having their pleasures with men, having their pleasures with alcohol, and doing all those things, and they come to church, and the rain comes on the just. And the unjust is what the Bible says. He said, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. All flesh. That means you're corrupt, you're wretched, you're wicked, you're filthy, you're adulterers, fornicators, pedophiles, murderers, drunkards, them all. He'll pour his spirit out upon all flesh. So what happens when his spirit pulls out on all of them? They're in the reign of God, and the gifts of God are without repentance. And even though they haven't turned away from their worldly pleasures and worldly sin, the gifts are there, and they work in those gifts. Don't you realize that the people out here that are working in a lot of the things of familiar spirits are working in the reign and the gifts of God? I could use my own life as an example. Before I was born again, before I was born again and accepted the Lord Jesus, and I know I was born again before the world ever was, but I'm talking about before I actually came to a confession and said, I've got to change. I've got to kill out Rob Coons, and I got to get him killed out and let Christ live. But I could remember the gifts working in my life before then. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to number it to. You know, you hear about all these different kind of things. You know, the world talks about karma. We call it reaping, sowing and reaping. The world talks about ESP, I think they call it. But you see the gifts of God revealed. And sometimes things would come to me and it would come into a knowledge of, and I didn't know why or how it came there, but all of a sudden I knew that I knew something, and it would come to pass, and I would see it. And I could remember speaking things, and people would think, well, my. I remember saying something to a man in a store one time. He said, hey, man. He said, you better get up there to Las Vegas, man. It looks like you're on a streak. Because I predicted something, and it came to pass. And you say, it's coincidence. No, it's the gifts of God working in my life, and I didn't understand what it was. I've shared this story with you, and I'll say this for you could know it's not a coincidence. I could remember I was a salesman, and I was in a town that I'd never been to in my whole life. Never been there. Never even drove through this town. And I was with a group of salespeople, and we went into a town, and we were canvassing, it was called, to get prospects to make sales. So as I was canvassing, handing out cards and different stuff, there was a lady in a vehicle. I gave her a card. It was saying that we'd give her a free gift if she'd give us the opportunity to demonstrate our product. She said, well, sure, I would like that. So I had a notepad and stuff there in my hand, and I said, well, I'll need to get your address and directions to where you live. I'm in a town I don't know, so I wanted some directions. And she started to speak. She said, well, go down this road, and she said like that, and then I, all of a sudden, it just came to me. And I saw, I didn't just hear it, but I saw it. And I said, go down this road and cross the bridge and turn right and go down to the second street and make a left and then go down so far and then make another turn. It was 3 or 4 or 5 turns involved. And I said, go down, and I said, you've got a white stucco house with a blue roof. I could remember that just like it was yesterday because it was God speaking to me. Well, all of a sudden, this girl had scared her. She looked at me and she said, how'd you know that? I said, I don't. I was just going on. I said, I don't know. I told her, I'm just rambling. I said, go ahead and give me the directions to your house. She said, and she got upset. She said, how did you know where I lived? And I said, I don't know where you lived. I don't know why I said that. I said, go ahead and get, and she said, that was the directions to my house. And it scared her. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, I don't know. I said, I just was going on like that. I drove what I saw. And I pulled into the, and it was a white stucco house with a blue roof. Well, this was in the state of Missouri. My father was born and raised in Missouri. You know what? There's not very many stucco houses there. I'm telling you. Go over to the state of Missouri and look around. There's not too many stucco houses over there. California's got a lot of stucco houses. But over there, there's not very many stucco houses. Very few. And there's not a lot of houses with blue roofs on them neither. But this one was a blue roofed house. And you say, well, what are you saying all that for, Brother Rob? That's what I'm saying is that I spoke something that come from a knowledge that I had no knowledge of. You see, me as an individual, if I went and asked Sister Sheila, I said, Sister Sheila, give me directions to your house. And she said, okay, go down such and such road and turn right at such and such road and go down so many miles. And I write all that down. Now I have a knowledge how to get to her home because she gave me that knowledge. But all of a sudden I had a knowledge of to go to someone's home. Now I said all that to say this. The gifts and callings are without repentance. The thing is the Lord would suffer things like that to happen in your life, to see that there is another supernatural or spiritual world that you can tap into. Well, you say, well, you tapped into those gifts, but you know, maybe the reason you did because God knew that you was a child of God before the world ever was, and that's why you were partakers of that. Well, what about the one that I said was prophesying and giving words of knowledge over people and things and speaking prophetic things in their life? Why he was molesting his own children. I'm talking little children, little babies, little tiny children, 3 years old and things like this. And here's a father doing terrible acts to these children, but then yet working in the gifts. You see, I'm trying to paint you a picture here today, brothers and sisters, that you cannot put the strength in those things. You see, when I was young in the Lord, I would go into churches and see the power of God move through people. And I would pick them up and look at them and say, man, praise God. This is a man of God. This is a prophet of God. This is an apostle. Boy, this man, look at this. And then I would find these things that would break my heart and shipwreck my faith. I went to a minister's meeting. It was just for ministers. And man, in my mind, I was young in the Lord. I guess you'd have to say I was ignorant. You ignorant person is somebody without a knowledge. And I was ignorant. Because man, I thought, praise God. I mean, I was naive, I guess you could say also. I just believed that all ministers were just bright lights, man, and they all loved the Lord. And they was all seeking after the things of God and to help others, this and that. And I go to this minister's meeting and all of a sudden they get into this discussion. And there was another minister there that came in and started exposing things in these men's life. And was exposing things of immorality in these ministers' lives. And all of a sudden these ministers start confessing. Some of these ministers were my friends. I looked up to him. And here's this guy all of a sudden. I'm thinking like, boy, this guy over here, man, he's accusing this one of having an affair with another one's wife, another minister's wife. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? And then all of a sudden the guy confesses to it and starts weeping. And I'm thinking like, surely not. Let me tell you something, bro. It shipwrecked my faith. I mean, these are men that speak in tongues and these are men that preach like balls of fire. I mean, they could preach the gospel. You've seen people healed under their ministries. You've seen all these things and you think, well, there's the vindication that they're men of God. This is what I'm trying to say tonight. It doesn't vindicate that. You say, well, this is the kind of message that just makes us apprehensive of any minister. No matter what we see, we just don't know. Good, that's what I'm trying to do. You say, well, why would you do that? For you won't be shipwrecked in your faith. You see, we all witnessed the minister come down not too long back. And I prepared y'all for it. For many weeks, I prepared you because you were so tapped in that if I didn't prepare you and if I would have just come out and said, hey, this is what's going to happen. You say, oh, no, it never happened. I tried to prepare the church here for Brother Pike's passing. But what would you speak it up and say, man, the best I could tell, the Lord showed me the brother's going off the scene. Oh, man, you've missed the Lord. You know, if he goes off scene, that's the change. And it's, you know, we went the redemption of the body, thus and thus. And I had people rebuke me. I said, man, I'm not going to speak that. Not going to speak that no more. But when this other minister came down, I saw it happening. Many people were locked in there. Locked right in with them. Charisma. Charismatic. Exuberant. On fire. Boy, you know, don't tell me he's going to go down. But he sure enough did. But you see, brothers and sisters, you say, well, what is the purpose and why would you say these things? Because we have to get our eyes upon the Lord. The Bible even talks about the Pharisees. And it speaks and says, don't do as they do, but do as they say. Brothers and sisters, I can say that if I fall away from God, that you should have your eyes so much upon the Lord that it wouldn't shipwreck your faith, that you'd just go right on with the Lord and go on. And the things that I say, brothers and sisters, is from the Word of God. And you say, are you preparing us for your fall? No. This message, brothers and sisters, is to say that we can understand why there's so much deception in America and why the church world is in the hideous condition that it's in. Because people are going to church and they don't feel like they're in church unless they're seeing the gifts move, and then they think that's the vindication that God is there and it's a vindication of the Holy Ghost, and they're sitting under men of God that are lost, that do not have the Holy Ghost, and they're teaching you doctrines that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. And the reason they teach that doctrine, because they speak in tongues and they want that to be a vindication that they're of God. Let me tell you, the only thing that vindicates a person that they are a blood-bought, born-again child of God is enduring to the end. You see, when a man is full of the Holy Ghost, he cannot fall. He cannot be plucked away. It is impossible according to the scriptures. Oh, but Brother Rob, you've messed up. You know, I know that, you know, people could backslide. You know, they could backslide and they could fall away and backslide and they could come back. Well, the thing is, brothers and sisters, Jesus said, I'm married unto the backslider and I've healed your backsliding. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, if your backsliding has been healed and been taken care of, what does it mean by being married to the backslider? You see, when we become married unto the Lord Jesus, being the husband. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to take and understand things. Well, what does it mean when they're serving the Lord and they're on fire for God and they go back in the world? It means that they was never of you. Well, what about when they come back and they get on fire for God again and they've really learned? There is a little parable about a prodigal. And sometimes a man could show that. But many times, brothers and sisters, it was all will worship. They come in. They will a performance. It's will worship. They've got to come and have a genuine experience and an infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we think of the reign of God coming on the just and the unjust, and it comes on the unjust, it's the reign of God. They feel the goosebumps. They get weak in the power of God. The gifts move in their life. That's reign, brothers and sisters. That's the reign of God. It's on the whole world. It's on the whole world. It's not His will for none to perish, not even one, the Bible says. But then yet, if we're going to talk about truly being born of God, truly being filled with the Holy Ghost, truly having His Spirit. So what are you saying, Brother Rob? If a man falls away or trips and stumbles, are you saying he doesn't have God's Spirit? It's not at all what I'm saying. The Bible said the righteous will fall down, but they'll get right back up. That's one way you can know they're righteous. They get back up. Sin's not imputed. You know, or blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. You see, you might stumble, you might stagger, but it won't be imputed to you as sin if you are God's elect. But then yet, if you're not God's elect and you will a performance of righteousness as filthy rags, and you will a performance and you seem to do good and you're obedient to church and you seem to go through all the motions and you're not God's elect, it's not righteous. That's filthy rags. But you know, Brother Rob, this is what we have to do. There is a part, brothers and sisters, that is going to press in and do that. But you see, that doesn't make God's elect. God's elect does that, but people can do that outside of being God's elect. You see, when you have a will and you will a performance, you can only do that for so long. But when the principalities and powers bombard against you as a man and they bombard against you, you won't be able to stand under that lest you be full of the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost, you're endued with power, the Bible says. And when you're endued with power, it's the power to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. It's the power to overcome. It's the power, brothers and sisters. And this is what being filled with the Holy Ghost is. And if you don't see the power of God manifesting in a man's life, then he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. What is the power? Power is to come out of the world. The power is to overcome. The power is to put Satan under your feet. You say, well, what happens, Brother Rob, when we see a person that keeps on going into error and they keep on making mistakes and they keep on doing the same thing over and over? Well, the Bible said that the elect of God do not have a spirit of error. A spirit of error, brothers and sisters, a child of God could err, but he doesn't have a spirit of error. There's a difference. And a spirit of error, brothers and sisters, is a manifestation that your father's the devil, and you're going to have to say, wait a minute, I've got to get this out of my life. That part's got to die. So many times we want to have this infilling of God's power. So many times we want to say that we're a child of God. So many times we want to say we got the Holy Ghost. We're born of God. Thus, we want to say that, but we want to just say we still want to have an identity. We still want to be who we are and have the pleasures of this life. We still want to live in this world and be partakers of this world. When the Bible commands us to come out of the world and be a separate people. When you're in this world, you need to go into the world and condescending from heaven. And you go into this world in such a way that you are going into this world that you are looking in the darkness for ones that don't have their way, that you could bring light to bring them out of the darkness. You're bringing light into the world because you are the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, there's so many things that we could say. As I use my own personal testimony that's on the internet, that as a minister, my own personal testimony is being delivered from deceiving spirits. Deception. And there's so many ministers today that are deceived and in deception. And my greatest testimony is saying I've been delivered from deceiving spirits. Wouldn't say, oh, you know, praise God, I got delivered from heroin. I got delivered from cocaine. I got delivered from alcohol. I got delivered from being an adulterer, a fornicator, a whoremonger. I got delivered from gossip or backbiting or all those things. You know, praise God, that is a beautiful, awesome testimony. And we should have those kind of testimonies when we come out of the world and when we've been born again. We need those kind of testimonies. But brothers and sisters, I find that the greatest stronghold in our country, in America, isn't methamphetamine. It isn't crack cocaine. The strongest stronghold that Satan's got in America is the organized churches and religion. And I'm starting to tell you that our Pentecostal churches are leading the way. They're the daughters of the great whore. That sounds strong. Boy, Brother Rob, you better be careful what you say. Where do you think Satan, when it says that he'll climb up into the upper lintels, where do you think that's meaning? The cocaine places, the crack houses, that's the devil's, yes. He already's there, dwelling there. They're in his mind, in his will. And they've already been in captivity at his will because of their carnality and because they're of the world. But you see, Satan is a deceiver and he's the father of all lies. And if he's climbing up into the upper lintel, like the Bible says, where is that at? Where does he want to get a stronghold at? And he's climbed up in religion. Oh, it's okay. God loves you. Oh, you know, don't go back to, you know, these old timers, you know, that, you know, say that God's going to put you into hell. Oh, man, God's love. He came and shed his blood and died for you on the cross of Calvary that you could have life and life more abundantly. I say, yea and amen. That's the gospel and that's the truth. But let me tell you what abundant life is. There's a life of power. You see, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were endued with power. Peter, the one that cursed God. Peter, when he went in and he saw him taking Jesus off, they said, there's one of them right there. And he cursed God. And he started using filthy language. They said, well, that must not be one of them. Because I know that them people that walked with that Christ, they didn't talk like that. So they let him go. See, they was going to take him. But see, he didn't have the infilling of God's Spirit. He didn't have the power of God. But after he received the power of God, he stood before them on that day of Pentecost with a boldness. And he said, that very Jesus Christ and in whom that you crucified. You see, there was a different Peter. He was endued with power. Let me tell you something. When you're endued with power, brothers and sisters, you're as bold as a lion. You're not going to be moved by the traditions of the world, the fads of the world. You're not going to be moved by those things. There's going to be something in you, the power of God, and you are going to stand against the wiles of the enemy. You're going to have a clear, sound mind, and you're going to have the power to discern good and evil. So if Satan has climbed up into this upper lintel or the upper echelon that the Bible talks about, where is this at? It's in the churches, not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in an organized religious institutions. You show me one denomination that hasn't made changes in the last 20 years. Show me one. I challenge you. I want you to show me one that is standing in the same perspective in the same way that they were preaching 20, 30 years ago. And the Bible said that God isn't given to change. Woe unto you that are given to change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So then what is these changes that are taking place? So then we would say if we're seeing these changes of fitting into the traditions of the world, then we've got a problem. I'm telling you, the music that is going on in the Christian communities now, and they're calling it Christian music, it's a deceiving, lying devils. You say, be careful, Brother Rob. You might speak against the Holy Ghost. No, I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to speak against the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking by the indwelling of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm speaking against the ways and the order of the religious orders of this world. Brothers and sisters, how do you know when music is Christian music and godly music versus religious music? Just like we're talking about the power to discern good and evil, the power or the understanding, the revelation to know if a man is full of the Holy Ghost or not. How can I tell if the music is godly or not godly? Let me tell you something about godly Holy Ghost music. It doesn't move the flesh. You'll find it bringing the strength in your spirit. You'll find something crying, Abba, Father, within your spirit. You'll find that this spirit and the rivers of living water start flowing forth and you feel a connection with God. And you just want to worship Him and praise Him and worship Him. But when it moves in your flesh and brings inspiration to your flesh and you want to wiggle a little bit, you want to shake a little bit, and you want to move a little bit, then there's a problem. And you say, well, if it's of God, then we're supposed to just stand stiff and we're not supposed to move. Well, you know, there is charisma in the Spirit of God. You know, even David danced, brothers and sisters. And you say, well, that's just contrary to what you said. He didn't dance in the flesh, brothers and sisters. He danced in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We sing in the Spirit. And then we go over to the shadows or to the counterfeit, and there's things in the flesh. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God could move by the power of the Holy Ghost in one, and he might run around the church. But then somebody saw that happen, they think, oh, you know, praise God, this is what happens when the Spirit of God moves, and there they go. You could tell that God's going to move. A lot of our Pentecostal churches, when you go to them, they come in their three-piece suit, they got their jogging shoes on. Boy, when they come to church, they know God's going to move. I got my Nikes on. I'm ready to run for the Lord. You say, Brother Rob, you need to be careful. You might be mocking the things of God. No, I'm mocking people that are little babies that just need to grow up and they need to get a real genuine infilling of God's Spirit and let it be the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before this service over, the Holy Ghost might move on you and you might want to go outside and run around this church three times and I'll just rejoice with you. When you get back, we'll talk about the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've had the Spirit of God move on me in so many ways. And I understand the power of God. I've had to put me on the floor. When I prayed for Sister Sheila not many days back, I just almost went to my knees over there praying because the same Spirit of the Lord that moved in the woman with the issue of blood, when that virtue left my body to take the authority in this situation there, it just, my knees just about came out from under me. So maybe next time I pray for somebody, for you think God's moving, I'll just let my knees buckle and fall to the floor. Brothers and sisters, I've witnessed a lot of things over the years. I'm not speaking against God or God's ways or the phenomenal power of God. Sometimes God will show himself, brothers and sisters, and kill your ways. I've had him take the strength out of my body. I couldn't move, couldn't pick my head up off the floor, tried to. And he was just saying and showing me who is the power and who is the authority. Do you realize he has the power? He could take breath in and out of your nostrils and he could stop it. We're talking about an awesome God, brothers and sisters. So how do I know that I have the Holy Ghost? How do I know that I'm a child of God? Is it because I prophesy? Is it because I speak in tongues? Is it because of these things? It's because you endure to the end. You know that you're a child of God and full of the Holy Ghost because you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Not the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit, Brother Rob? Just go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and read it for yourself. But you're going to have love. You're going to have joy. Brothers and sisters, when you have the fruit of God in your life, it's going to show up. If you have a fruit-producing tree in your yard, guess what? You're going to see fruit on it if it's a fruit-producing tree, and you will reap from the fruit. And if you have the fruit of God's Spirit, if you have the patience, the gentleness, and the kindness, and the meekness, and the long-suffering in your life, it's going to show up in your life. But when you have vengeance and anger and malice and bitterness and drunkenness and idolatry and fornication, then that's the fruit of the devil. You might speak in tongues. You might prophesy, but your father's the devil because you have the attributes of the devil. But Brother Rob, we got to make ourselves twain, both Lord and Christ. And you know that old man, that old fleshly part's going to sin and it's going to do all that. But you know there's a Christ part of us, you know, that born again experience, that new man. And you're talking about that's the things that the old man does, but it's the new man. He's righteous and good. Let him live then. Kill the old man. You cannot have life until you mortify, the Bible says, the deeds of the flesh. And if you savor the things that would be of the flesh, then you're lost. You don't have God's Spirit. I don't care if you're a tongue talker or prophecy or prophet. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God. You're going to bring the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ alive into a present day truth and application in this day and hour. People are going to see that you are a peculiar person because you don't talk like the world, you don't act like the world, you don't look like the world. You are a blood-bought, born-again child of God, full of the power of God, and the power of God is to separate you from this world, to come out of the world and to be a separate people. And when you come out of the world, you are peculiar because you don't talk like them, you don't look like them, you don't act like them, your music isn't their music, your dress style isn't their dress style, your hairstyle isn't their style. You are out of that world. And when you're caught up in the fashions of this world and trying to keep up with the traditions of this world, it's because you are of the world and your father's the devil. Well, what are you saying, Brother Rob? We just got to look all filthy and dirty all the time and how clothes wore out and stuff. I didn't say that neither. You see, people will go from one extreme to the other. A brother not long ago was trying to bring a companion or a girlfriend, however you want to say it, into some things of holiness. Hot in the summertime. The woman been wearing revealing clothes and been dressed worldly fashions and wearing her pants and all those things. He said, look, you know, you're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to start dressing according to holiness, the Bible says. So he goes over to see her, hot in the summertime. Got a big old sweater, man, buttoned up right to the top. Long sleeve sweater on, got this big old dress on, and he goes, whoa. You know, what kind of point are we trying to make here? What kind of statement are we trying to make here? You see, brothers, said, we got to have some kind of understanding. People do some foolish things. We got to have some kind of an understanding, some kind of revelation. Brother Pike used to say some of the sisters wearing their long dresses used to bring a reproach to the name of God and the things of God. They'd wear them so long, they'd drag the ground, they'd get all muddy and bring reproach. Isn't that a terrible sight? See a woman walk along in a long dress and all mud gumming up the back of it? Oh, but I'm holy. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to get the mind of revelation and the mind of God and understand what holiness is. Brothers and sisters, when you have the spirit of holiness, it isn't something that is hard to produce. You can't have the spirit of holiness by the way you dress, but when you have the spirit of holiness, it'll dress you. It will dress you. Believe me, it will dress you. When you have the spirit of holiness, it will dress you according to holiness. But when you don't have the spirit of holiness, you'll reason against it. Your carnal mind will come against it. And you think, oh man, you know, God's love. Oh, he loves us so much. And you know, God's not going to put nobody in hell. And you're right, he's not. The devil's going to drag you into hell because it was made for him and you become one with him because you took on his mind. And when you took on his mind, you become one with him. The Bible said, whoever, I say this ever so often, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. So if you're yielding your members to the fashions of this world, the love of this world, the cares of this world, the sports of this world, all of the music of this world, then you are of your father, the devil. That's not hard to understand, is it? Amen. They preach like that over in Tennessee, Brother Isaac. All right, amen. I know God's over there too, amen. I've been over there and I had him over there with me there too, amen. Hallelujah. I love y'all and appreciate you. But brothers and sisters, the Bible talks about this dark time at the end. Let us take heed to the things that we hear as we see this day approaching. And brothers and sisters, we're in a day of darkness. My perspective of speaking the way I spoke tonight isn't to just shed some kind of a terrible light about how wretched the church world is, but it truly is in bad shape. There are elect of God out there, and there are ministers out there full of the Holy Ghost that love the Lord and preach in sound doctrine. And they're out there, but they're getting to be a small flock, like the Bible says, and few be there that find it. And we have to take and preach the gospel and the word of God and receive the word of God and realize that the wiles of the devil and the snares of Satan have infiltrated and climbed up into the upper lintels, and we've got to beware of that. And this kind of message and is to stir up that pure mind inside of you that you could walk, not apprehensive, but walk as the scriptures say, you know, to try the spirit and see if it would be of God. Try the spirit and see if it would be of God. Not everybody that says, yea, yea, Lord, is of the Lord. Not everybody that prophesies is of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Bible says despise not prophecy. But let me tell you, there's so much foolishness going on in prophetic utterances in the church world. When I was out in the charismatic move, there would be men coming up and saying, I got a word from God for you. What is a word from God? It's a prophetic utterance. I got a word from the Lord for you. And they were telling married women that God was going to give them another man. Was that a prophecy from God? Sure was. Come on, Brother Rob. It was from the God of this world, from the prince and the power of this air. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, a man called me out in a church service and rebuked me and said that I was had well vomit on me because he prophesied in front of the whole church and said, he called my name. He said, you got well vomit on you, brother, because I wasn't where I was supposed to be in God. It's like Jonah in the belly of the whale. He said, I got well vomit on me because I was supposed to be a youth pastor in this other guy's church. I wouldn't have been no youth pastor of another guy's church. He just made a confession at the minister's meeting I was at 2 weeks prior for having an affair with another man's wife. I said, hey, I heard enough there, man. I'm out of here. That was my writing of divorcement for his hard heart. I was gone. It's all I needed to hear. Oh, but you know, the love of God, you should have stayed there with them and helped them and done this and that. I didn't know how to deal with that stuff, brothers and sisters. People wondered why I was all over the country. Man, I'd go over to this church and, man, praise God, let's do something for God. And all of a sudden these things would happen and these exposures and things would happen. I'd think, my, you know, what do you do with that? And I'd go. One day God put a stop to that and said, no, you're going to deal with it. And I had to deal with it. But you see, I've seen many people hurt over the years. Many people hurt, young people in the Lord that love God, hurt because of ministers going off into foolishness. I could name many of them that you know. And some of them haven't got their bearings yet. You're better off to put a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the sea as to offend a little one. Let's all stand together, just talking with you a little bit. I'm not trying to make you be apprehensive of anybody that calls himself a minister, but use wisdom. Well, am I supposed to go to church and judge the preacher? No, you're supposed to go to church with the Spirit of God in your heart, with a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and don't close the voice of God. Sometimes we shut the voice of God. I've had the Lord speak to me and I say, oh no, man, I'm not going to receive that thought. And the Lord said, don't cast my thoughts down, because he was trying to show me something. How many of you, as when you're dealing with people out in the world, we might say, or meeting people, this and that, and you meet people and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, praise God, this and that. And they shake your hand. But all of a sudden there's a check in your spirit right here. And there's something, man, you say, well, I don't want to doubt this, brother. But there's something right here in your heart saying, man, there's something wrong. You might not be able to identify and say, well, this guy's thus and thus, or this guy's that, but go by that. If it don't feel right, that's God protecting you through a gift of discernment that you haven't maybe exercised like you should. But he's telling you, hey, and when you cross over that discernment or that still small voice is when you'll find yourself in a snare or in trouble or complications or problems. You know, there's so many realms we could look at that in. So many realms that we could understand that in. It could happen in business. You go up and meet a man, hey, I'd like you to do the job. There's something don't feel right. Oh, but I need to work. Remember my own testimony when I first came up here? I just moved up here, starting a church, needed work. And this guy gave me work. But man, all of a sudden, I've got a check in my spirit. Say, man, this guy's not right. There's going to be a problem. The Lord told me to separate. And I thought, well, he's got this one more job. And I'm just going to go ahead and do this one more, and then I'll do it. Guess what? I never got paid for that one more job because of my rebellion against God. I should have listened to the Lord when he said, separate. But I reasoned, and I didn't do it. And I lost money, and I rejoiced in the Lord and said, you know what, God? That's a small price to pay for disobedience. Do you live on that street? Do you walk on those realms? And that's where we need to be. Brothers and sisters, let's be obedient to God. He's going to speak to you in that still, small voice. He's going to exhort you, encourage you, edify, and he's going to help you. And you got to learn to listen. Too many times, by speaking of discernment right now, I'm speaking to an individual, but too many times you cross and violate the Spirit of God, the speaking of the Lord's voice to you. And the reason that you do it is because you reason it out, and you go on in your own will and your own way. And there's a crash up ahead. And you say, is that an exhortation or is that a prophecy? Well, I'll tell you like this. I would get a hold of the horns of the altar in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I would seek God and I would pray and say, God, is that preacher talking to me? And I would say this. And you say, well, Brother Rob, if you're concerned for souls, why don't you just call them out and call them by name? I've done that. I don't have a problem doing that. But I think if you would just quiet and study to be quiet just for a moment. I want you to close your eyes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel the Spirit of the Lord breaking a yoke right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord as we allow the Lord to minister, though, for a moment. I could say, was it an exhortation or a prophecy? I'm going to tell you like this, it's an exhortation if you take heed to the things that God is saying and you yield yourself to the Spirit of God and start listening to that still small voice and quit violating the mind of God and the love of God and the path of God and the peace of God. Then it's an exhortation. But if you don't take heed to the things that are being said, it is a prophecy, thus saith the Lord, and you will go through a crash up. What does that mean, Brother Rob? What does a crash up mean? It means that you will be humbled and you'll be knocked down. You'll learn things, obedience by the things that you suffer. I say yield to the Spirit of God. Take heed to the things that you hear, lest at any time you'd let them slip. It's not your way and it's not my way. It's God's way. God loves you. He wants you to prosper and to be in health. He wants you to walk in His Spirit. He wants you to be led by His Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have you found your place in God? You know, God's got a calling in your life. You say, who are you talking to? What I say to one, I say to all. Have you found your calling? Have you found your place? God might show you what your calling is. And you're truly called but not chosen because you haven't fulfilled the calling. Do you realize before He could choose you to walk in the calling of God, that you've got to fulfill it? Do you understand that? I pray and hope that you can understand and pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge, that you could perceive and comprehend the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day I wanted to be a pilot. I had the heart of a pilot, but I didn't have the knowledge of one. But I had to pursue it until the knowledge of it came. Even though they gave me a certificate and called me a pilot, I still had to pursue after the skill and the knowledge. You may feel called to preach the gospel. Fulfill it. You say, how do I do that? By being obedient to the still small voice of God. He don't want you to be preaching the gospel until you learn to be obedient to the still small voice of God. And because a lack of obedience of the still small voice, there won't be a fulfillment of the calling in your life, because you haven't learned to yield to the still small voice. Because when you're a preacher and preaching the gospel and He says, shut up, you shut up. He says to speak, you speak. You understand? And there's a time for both. And then when we don't yield ourselves over to the still small voice of God and listening to that, and He sees that, then we don't fulfill it, because He doesn't see the obedience that we need to have in our life. Amen. I'm thankful that God washed my sins away and put them as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. You ought to rejoice this evening that He put your name down in the book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up to Him. As we dismiss the service, I love you. I appreciate you. God loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to close the service. If you have need of prayer, you better hurry into the altars. Make haste. The King's matters require haste. Amen. Well, you wanted to close that bad, huh, Brother Rob? I'll stay in these altars with you all night. The Spirit of the Lord moves in that direction. I'll stay here all night. We'll pray until that day star comes up in the morning, and we'll rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.